Welcome to What's Eric Eating? Culture Map's bi-weekly look at all things Houston bars and restaurants. I'm your host, Culture Map editor Eric Sandler. In today's show, I'll have a conversation with someone in the food world I think you'll want to hear from, and the couple behind certainly one of the most successful Tex-Mex restaurants in Houston, most successful and enduring Tex-Mex restaurants, and a whole bunch of other things. Let me introduce you separately so people can hear your voices. Armando Palacios, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Cinda Palacios, thanks for doing this.
Oh, thanks for having us.
You know, whenever I have a couple on the show, I always like to start with the story of how you met. So tell me a little bit about how you met and how you came to be not just married, but also business partners.
Well, I needed an architect at the time, and she was an architect. And she was so diligent. She worked, her work ethic was unbelievable. And I couldn't let her go. So she was, her work ethic and just as a person in general, she's very compassionate, very understanding, and just takes no for an answer. And just, I couldn't pass up a good deal.
Cinda, what about you? What do you remember about meeting Armando?
Oh, I honestly, to be real honest, the first time I met him, I literally textbook, my knees got weak. Okay. But I was warned that he'd be the most difficult client we ever had. And my boss didn't want anything to do with him. So I was put on this project.
I don't like this guy. And like Larry David would say, I don't even like myself.
So how long ago was that?
34 years.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So Armando, let me take you all the way back to 1978 when you opened the original location of Armando's, because you know that's sort of ancient history as far as Houston restaurants go. I mean, you opened a Tex-Mex restaurant, and I guess Ninfa's had been going for a little bit, but you know, it's kind of Felix and Los Tios, and I don't think it ever occurred to anyone that Tex-Mex and fine dining would work well together. So how did you kind of conceive of that concept?
Well, let me start by telling you, when I saw this location, the original location of Armando's, I had $75 in my pocket. The landlord wanted a $100 deposit, and the lease would be written up in 3 weeks or so. So I went, and I was a waiter at the time, and I came out with $26, 55 cents for a pack of cigarettes and 45 cents for gasoline in my little Volkswagen. Went to River Oaks Bank at the time, got a brand new $100 bill. I went back and met my landlord, and I gave him his $100 bill. He gave me his key, and that's how I started. And from there, it took me 9 months. And I had worked at Ninfa's at the time, but I was fired. I was fired because back then you could give beer to customers. Well, I had this old couple that didn't drink margaritas or didn't drink beer. So I gave them half an order of sopapillas, one tortilla, okay? That's what sopapillas are. And so for that, I was fired. And because of that, I said, you know, I can do a restaurant. So, and that's how I started. But being the fact that I was at Westside Shepherd in San Felipe, across from River Oaks, I just kept taking it up a notch. And finally, it was the place to go. And back then when I opened, there was Tony's, Rudy's, Maxim's, Ninfa's, Leo's down the street, Felix, Molina's, and I'm the last one standing, which is scary, you know. And that's how it started. And then John Meekham started coming in, and the Studies, the Seraphins, and then it just became the place to see and be seen. And it was where I would say Houston really grew up with Armando's. And so that's how it started.
So how did you sort of foster that environment? I mean, how did you sort of lean in to make it as popular and successful as it has become?
Well, back then, if you went to a Ningfield was opening up her second location on Westheimer when I opened. And back then it was all Hispanic waiters in Guayaveras, whites Guayaveras. And I got young girls as waitresses. And we just took it to a different level. I had huge floral arrangements every week, and I was spending like $3,000 to $4,000 a month on flowers. This is back in the early 80s, right? That's a lot of money nowadays. And it just kept growing. And the fact that we were right across the street from River Oaks, people started coming in. The exiled king of Italy was at Armando's. Mr. Meekin would bring in all these celebrities. And then it just grew. It just grew by itself. And it's an institution.
So when did you move to the current location at Kirby and Westheimer? Because I have childhood memories of going to that location as the River Oaks Grill, but I know you've been there for a long time now.
It's been 16 years, and it was a River Oaks Grill back then, and we took over the River Oaks Grill. We did a 6 weeks turnaround time, and those owners were bringing me in so I could buy them out. And so we turned it around, and six weeks later, it was Armando's, and we just hit a home run immediately. But then we were humbled by Kirby and Westheimer going under construction, both streets at the same time. So we went from incredible sales to very little. So we had to bite the bullet, and it was a big bullet. Westheimer and Kirby being closed for complete construction.
So you bit the bullet. What did you do to kind of keep yourself going
Pray,
during that challenge?
pray, pray a lot. And we thought we were doing something. We really said, well, customers would really come if they really wanted to come. And no, my customers just didn't want to go through the hassle. And so it took a year, right?
Yeah.
It took a year of just barely scraping by because,
Well, we just had to watch, costs or labor,
yeah.
food costs, and
Yeah.
it's all relative, right? It's just our fixed costs were what they were, and there was nothing we were going to do about that. So we just had to, put our heads down and work smart.
And then when my wife, Cinda, came in, it was during the 2008 housing market, and she was working for a high-rise developer. I said, listen, why don't you come in? Architecture is like the restaurant business. It's all about numbers. And you be the boss. I was smart enough to know there can't be two bosses. So she's the boss.
But
And
that doesn't keep him from being bossy. Okay, let's be clear.
well, sometimes I have to, hey, that's me, Armando. Okay. You can't talk to me like this. So anyway, she does. And so I run errands, but I
He
that's
does
the,
more than that, but.
yeah. But you would be surprised how many people now will, when I see them at Armando's, we got engaged at your restaurant. We celebrated when we were having our first child. And now it's very rare that a restaurant will cater to the grandkids. And now we are catering to the third generation. And we have Thursday night disco. And sometimes you see these kids and their parents are there and they're going, Mom, Dad, what are you doing here? So we are very fortunate that we can do that. But as Armand Hammer said, I get lucky when I work 7 days a week.
Well, I'm so glad that you mentioned Thursday nights because it's such an important aspect of the Armando's experience. So So tell me how you created that and kind of what it's, how do you describe it to people who have never been there on a Thursday night?
Well, Thursday night started when I started riding Harleys, which I was always terrified. And we would arrive at Armando's, making all this noise and just turn the volume up. We didn't have the kind of sound systems that we have now. And people just started flocking to it. But truth be told, I had read an article in the New York Times as to in Manhattan, Friday night or Saturday night was Thursday night. That's when the hoi polloi would be seen and go out in Manhattan, because Friday morning they would jet off to wherever they were going, to Aspen, to Florida, to Southampton. So Thursday night was the night. So that's when I took it upon myself to do Thursday night. And if you go back in time, Thursday night really did not exist until I enforced it and promoted it. Maybe that's not that's the wrong word, enforced it. But Thursday night was just kind of singles night. And then Friday, so you would hopefully score a date on Thursday night and go out on Friday or Saturday night, and that's the way it happened. And now, it's a big deal. Thursday night is a big deal in Houston. But of course, my ego wants me to think that I started it, but it started in Manhattan, of course.
Well, you get credit for bringing it to Houston and fostering it, right? I mean, I think that's reasonable.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Cinda, what about you? What do you think about your Thursday night success?
Listen, we didn't when we moved to this location is when we did the dance floor and really made it a legitimate kind of scene like that. Before it was a C&B scene, but now we had a dance floor. And it took a bit to before it took off, right? We had to kind of pepper the crowd with people we knew would get out there and dance on the floor, get the right DJ. But once it took off,
Which was like 3 months later.
it took us,
It was not very
no,
long.
it took us 2 or 3 months for it to get, get any traction. But once it got traction, at this point right now, I literally have to go out during the summer and and be at the door. We just have to keep people out. We have so many people wanting to come in, especially during the summer months, right? There's a lot of people in town. And so it's really exciting. It's super exciting to see all these people that are just dying to get in there. Just it's a big house party. It's very safe. It's not really a club, it's like a house party. So
Well, and you have all these housewives that have parties, 8, 10, 12, 20, and they feel their husbands, I want to think, feel comfortable that their wives are going out, because it's Armando's. It's a restaurant. It's not like they're going out to a disco, So they feel comfortable at Armando's. And we always have two HPD outside the door and walking in. So, if there's ever anything happening, we can suppress it like immediately.
yeah, I think that's it. I mean, I think it's just feeling comfortable, feeling safe, and it's a safe environment for everybody. And it's small. I mean, it's small enough for us to monitor everything that's going on, so that's makes it reasonable.
I mean, do you have a favorite memory, a Thursday night memory when a celebrity showed up, or you saw someone kind of prominent, like dancing on a table or something? Was there?
Well, one of my favorite encounters was at the original Armando's. Billy Gibbons, who's a personal friend of mine, was downstairs. And I say downstairs, it was two steps. Okay. And that's what we call the downstairs. And at that time, that was a non-smoking section. And upstairs was Lionel Richie. And so I went to Lionel Richie and I said, Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top would like to meet you. He said, "Oh, sure." I went to Billy and I said, "Billy, Lionel Richie wants to meet you." And he said, "Oh, okay." So I got them together, but it was my idea and the photo. They didn't know.
We still have that photo on the wall at Armando's. Yeah.
Let me shift a little bit because you've done very well in Round Top. You have a hotel, you have a bunch of restaurants. How did you kind of identify, I mean, of all the small towns in Texas, how did you identify Round Top as a place you wanted to be?
Well, first of all, Round Top, I bought a piece of property in Round Top in 1978. And that's how I got to Round Top. And 16 years ago, well, no, five, almost 6 years ago, we were not getting long-term leases, you know, 2-3 year leases. And we have a 3-year-old grandson. 2 years is a long time for him. It's eternity. For us, 2 years was not enough, you know? And so they offered us a location in Round Top for a Tex-Mex restaurant. And I told my wife, we should do it. And so we couldn't do an Armando's. And so we did a Mandito's. And then 3 weeks later, a friend of ours who owned a whole block where Hotel Lulu is now and Lulu's said, why don't you take over this restaurant? And these people are in arrears. And so he said, take it over. And so I told my wife, okay, twins. We can do twins, okay? It's easier to have twins than just one child. Then 6-7 months later, we got another friend of mine, and who said, I just bought this location. Please do a restaurant. If you don't do a restaurant there, I'll just shut it down and just mow the lawn because it's going to be for my grandkids. And so I told my wife, okay, triplets. We can, it's easier to have triplets all at once. And so Round Top, you know, is on the map. Round Top is on the map. It's a big deal twice a year. And now, for example, in January, we just had the winter antique festival, and it's been going on for 5 years, and it's the biggest in 5 years. So it gets bigger every year. But Round Top, men go hunting with rifles, and women go hunting with credit cards, and for the antique festival, and it's just packed. And you know, by default, we nurtured and fostered those three restaurants. But on the same token, Round Top is a very, very difficult market because there's no employees. You can't find employees. They have to come from 12, 15, 22 miles away. And it's very, very difficult, you know, to run restaurants there. But you know, we are succeeding, and so that's how we got to Round Top, by me being there in 1978.
It's always been a coveted little town, though. It has its history. It has a lot of already had a lot of swagger. Had a lot of clientele. Our clientele that lived out there, second homes, had ranches. So it wasn't like a foreign land for us to be out there. And we would go out there every weekend. So we were familiar with it as well.
And we spend half of the time in here in Houston and half of the time in Round Top. So it's the perfect town and country scene for us.
Well, and tell me a little bit about the hotel. I mean, what's it like?
Well, since we had first right of refusal on that property, the owner came in and said, okay, we want to sell. And you have first right of refusal. Do you want it? And we said, yes, because we had, it was retail spaces. And we said, we'll do a hotel, not knowing what in the world we were doing, because we had never done the small boutique hotel. And so we...
So the block is like 1 acre. It's had six different little cottages on it that were all retail, no bathrooms, no.
And now there's 14 units, 14. Yeah.
And we turn them into 14 rooms. And then the restaurant's on the block as well. And the restaurant is a stone building from 1860. It used to be a beer brewery, has a cellar. It's phenomenal. It's just a really gorgeous building. So we're fortunate to have it all within one block, and owning it now makes a lot of sense. We wouldn't have invested the money had we not been able to buy it.
And, you know, We have a pool. We have two bars. We have a restaurant. We have room service. And now, back then, everybody was calling if they had lodging. It was a bed and breakfast. And as soon as we came in, we called it Hotel Lulu because the hotel, you can get room service. You have a bar. You have a pool. You have the grounds. And now anybody and everybody's calling their place hotel. And they've
Yeah.
got, three rooms, but it's a hotel now. And we said, okay, good, no problem.
Yeah, it's only a hotel if it has room service. Anything else is a motel or a bed and breakfast or whatever. But if you can't bring me a burger and a club sandwich at 10 o'clock at night, then you're not a hotel. That's my take on it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
then that's how we qualified as well.
And then tell me a little bit about some of the restaurants there, because as you mentioned, you sort of started Mandito's there and you started Lulu's there, your Italian concept, and you've since brought them both to Houston. So how did you kind of diversify your portfolio as you settled into the town?
She wanted to grow. She wanted, well, okay. During COVID, right before COVID, 2 years before COVID, we were offered where Lulu's River Oaks is. And we said, no. We thought of an Italian restaurant, but we said, we're not ready. We're not ready for Westheimer and Kirby to do an Italian restaurant. And then during COVID, they came, the landlord, our landlord came back and said, okay, so you want that location? We said, yes.
Well, it's easier. The rent's cheaper in Round Top. You can, that's an incubator for our concepts. Okay. You can't take risks. We hadn't done Italian food before, and it wasn't a good idea to take that big bite out of that corner. And so when they did come to us, we had already had 2 years under our belt in Round Top. We kind of felt like we knew something. And by that point, we had hired a COO during COVID, He says that I had my, it was my fault that we grew with the way we did. And it's true, because if we're going to do this, we need to put our foot on the accelerator now during COVID, not after the fact. And so we did. And we ended up adding some really good, interesting,
Talented.
talented staff to our group, which, it's taken us a while to make everybody meld into the right, team. But I think we've accomplished a lot in the last, 2, 3 years doing that. We're not perfect, but we're working towards that.
And as you well know, restaurants, there's six $10 million restaurants opening up every week in Houston. It's very competitive. I mean, it's like, wow, unbelievable how much growth in restaurants business there is here in Houston.
We just try to stay focused, put your head down, focus, look at what you're doing. And, I think we've done a fairly good job with that.
And with Round Top, once we opened Hotel Lulu, at first there was nobody Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. And then all of a sudden people started, I want to say Sunday through Tuesday or Sunday through Wednesday. And we said, oh my God, we need to open up our restaurants 7 days a week. So that was another nightmare trying to get staff because you can't find staff. Round Top, when I got there, 1978, population was 71. It grew to 91, and now it has dropped to 84. And there's no help. You can't your average person can't afford to live there. There's no housing.
Yeah, I don't think it's any different than if you think about like Aspen, any of these kind of extreme spaces where you have a big push for business and then it's just a ghost town afterwards. I think it's very similar. You got to pick some good leadership that can pull in people when you need them, which is what we've done. And it's worked well for us. We're open 7 days a week. Even at the hotel, we're open 7 days a week at 8 a.m. for breakfast.
Yeah.
So,
Oh, wow.
yeah, we're going hardcore, because if we're going to be out there, We're going to be out there.
Well, you know, that said, the biggest complaint about Round Top is you would go into town, because you've heard of the Antique Festival. You go into town, and there was no restaurants open, only during the weekend. There was no shopping, only during the shows. There was nothing.
Yeah.
And so we decided to be the first ones. So we decided, okay, we have to open 7 days a week, whether there's business or not. We are going to do bite the bullet. And that's what we've done.
So
we like to consider ourselves as leaders. You know, we don't follow people.
So yeah, when we started going out there, it was Royer's and Klumps and the Mercantile, where you could get a sandwich at the sandwich counter. And that was about it. And, you know, obviously Klumps is gone. That's where Mondito's is now. Royer's is still there. The Mercantile is still there. And there's a lot of restaurants out there now, which is, you know,
and it's people, yeah,
a little different than here.
People are opening up restaurants. Like, I'm thinking, you have no idea. Go ahead, open up. You have no idea what is in store, because it's really feast or famine. You know, the antique show is coming up in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. It's pedal to the metal. You better have staff, and you better put that food out, because they will come in. And if you don't have food, one of the last shows, two restaurants just shut down because they, or three restaurants shut down because they couldn't handle it. They didn't have the staff.
Yeah.
And they weren't prepared food wise. So it's a big deal.
I mean, do you pull people from Houston for the Antiques Fair to
during the show? Yeah. And a lot of them look forward to it because it's, you know, there's overtime involved and there's big tips and it's like their Christmas, right? I can't get everybody a bonus every year, and that's their bonus. You know,
the last fall show, we had this 21-year-old little girl from Brenham, and I said, so how did you do for the show? She said, oh my God, I made $800 last night. She said, I've never seen that much money in my whole life. You know, I mean, $800 is a big deal, and that's what they do. That's what they do on a nightly basis, you know. And then it drops.
Right. Then 2 weeks later, you'll make $80, right? Not 800.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so what we tell them, and everybody in the restaurant business knows this, you can wait on two tables and make your money. You really have to make sure they have great service, exemplary service. And I have to say, in Round Top at Lulu's, it always feels like you're on vacation. So people are very kind and generous most of the time, generally. And they know that it's a tough job for some of these servers, and they're very kind to them. So if they're giving great service and we're giving them a great product, they can make their money off season. And now with the hotel, it's a totally different game.
Yeah.
Before the hotel, and after we open 7 days a week, now retailers see the opportunity to open more, because now when people come out, they'll come out to eat, they want to go shopping. So, you know, the Massey family owns the property right across from Lulu's, and they have some really great shops in there. And
but they were shut down before, and now they're thinking of opening up
more days,
like 5 days a week as opposed to 3 days a week, you know. So we're leading the pack again. And if you go someplace, there has to be shopping, there has to be lodging, and there has to be food. And that's what a lot of the retailers and other people are going, well, there's nobody here, so why should we be open? Well,
right. It's a chicken and egg problem, right?
It's the chicken or the egg. What came first? So we took it upon ourselves to open 7 days a week.
So they have in Round Top, they have a hot tax for all the lodging within that 1 square mile. So any of us within the 1 square mile pay a hotel tax. And they formed a hotel lodging board, and we hired a PR firm to help us kind of go to the next level. And, you know, people better be careful of what they ask for, because it will get busier. It will get busier because of that. And it's okay because I think everybody, I think the retailers are going to be really happy because it's a tough, tough job for them out there. Retail is so difficult and they deserve, they deserve to have some good weekends. And it's hard for the other, a lot of restaurants. It's hard for us some weekends.
Well, and people are complaining. Well, listen, we're not getting any benefits from this PR firm. Well, they're closed. They're not open 7 days a week.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we'll, I think it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
I think it's a matter of time and just a little bit more effort on our part. You know, there's a good and a bad to this. A lot of the old timers out there hate the growth, but they love it when they flip their property and they, that value of the property.
Right. What you paid for it 20 years ago, it's worth three
Yeah.
or four times as much, right?
Yeah.
Right. I've been sitting in town council meetings for years and I've seen that budget go from very small, meager funds to, pretty much overflowing. You know, it's a different place now. And is that not everybody likes to see the change, but it was bound to happen. The antiques show, it's last year was 50 years old. It's been growing every year. It just has been growing. And COVID really catapulted it even further because everybody wanted to be in the country. Put, everybody was buying. The property values were skyrocketing. And now everybody has a place out there. So it's the place, I think, within this area, to be able to get away hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes, depends on what side of town you live on. It's not that bad. You don't have to drive all the way to San Antonio. You don't have to get to Austin. It's close
You
enough.
know, a lot of people would have places like in Wimberley or Fredericksburg. That's 4.5, 5 hour drive. So if you're just going Friday and coming back Sunday, that dog don't hunt. It's a big deal. And for us, Westheimer Kirby is 1 hour 40 minutes. Boom, you're there.
Yeah, so let me just shift gears one more time and talk about one of the restaurants that you, as you said, you sort of incubated in Round Top and then brought to Houston, which is Mandito's. You opened in Bel-Air last year. You just opened in Katy a couple weeks ago. Tell me a little about bringing Mandito's to the Houston area and kind of how that's going.
So, we've always thought there was an opportunity to do kind of our recipes, but more to casual kind of environment. And going to Bel-Air seemed like the right location because it's
And
very,
Katie.
and Katy, because they're both neighborhoods. And that's kind of our shtick. We go into neighborhoods. I mean, that seems to work for us. That's what we know. We don't do freeways. We're not good at big shopping centers.
Yet. Yeah.
I mean, it's just not what we know. We know neighborhoods.
And Armando's is, I mean, where else do you go with Armando's, you know?
Right. Armando's is a one-off, right? Like you're never
Yeah.
going to open
Yeah.
another one of
Yeah.
those.
No. Unless it would be Washington, D.C., you know, or
Right,
someplace like that. But
Fifth Avenue in Manhattan or
you
something.
know, but just to go to Bel-Air, anywhere else, we have to do a different concept. Same kind of food, same basic recipe, but
Yeah, and
name it differently. And Manditos is what my mom used to call me. Mandito, eat your beans. Mandito, eat your beans.
the
And so that's like Billy calling somebody Billy or Johnny, you know, Willie. So that's Manditos in, you know, with Papacitos, Manditos, etc., etc. So.
So we wanted to do this cantina like, but we wanted to upgrade like the plateware. We wanted to do, very fine, kind of a just an upscale cantina like. So we got our feet wet, obviously incubated out in the Round Top.
Which is totally different than these two
Complete,
places. I mean,
completely, completely. So we took the first foray into this in Bel-Air. And it's been a learning curve. We've had to tweak some stuff, and we're getting our, but once we got it right, we took it to Katy. It's unbelievable in Katy. Really, that's it's actually a kind of a food desert out there in our location, Gaston and Falcon Landing. It's hard to get any place because it's neighborhood after
but a
neighborhood.
lot has to do with the decor. It's kind of a fun ambiance. It's not a very Tex-Mex restaurant. ambiance. It's just fun, and kids love it, and the parents like it because they can go. Our daughter and son-in-law, they go out to Manditos, because even though we own Armando, when they come in, I go, "Oh my God, there's rice on the floor. There's all kinds of
Yeah,
stuff.
they don't
Why'd
want
you go to Manditos?"
to.
So they feel better over there.
Yeah, I mean, really,
Yeah.
it's for the family. It's a
Yeah.
family-oriented kind of place. It makes sense for that, and it works for that. We just, in fact, had lunch at Manditos in Bel
Yeah.
Air. We just added some chicharrones and some street corn to the menu. Phenomenal, I have to say. I have to say, those are amazing. Some
So,
all-day breakfast tacos. You know, we're just trying to, we're trying to make it really accessible for a lot of people. We can't, we want to just kind of be the one-stop shop for somebody that needs to get their Mexican fit, Tex-Mex fix.
well, and Cindy, you said you made some tweaks in Bel Air to kind of get it dialed in. What are a couple of the things that you've done, or what have you learned in the several months that you've been there?
Surprisingly, I thought pricing wouldn't be an issue, but prices are issues in Bel Air. And I think it's to do with families. When you have kids, you don't have, I don't care how much money you make, kids are expensive, right? And so we got to make it more accessible for those families to come in for even for, I see now, we were there today and everybody's like our age, Armando and I's age, because we have lunch specials now, because it's not like a lot of traffic through there for lunch. So in order to draw it, it's usually older people like Armando and I hate to say that, honey, but it's true. And then we added some of these more, we've had a lot of
Well,
questions about egg or breakfast tacos on the weekends. So we started adding those for the weekends. Well, actually, we do it all day, every day.
basically what we noticed, I've been in River Oaks for 45 years. Discretionary income is not a big deal, okay? You go out to the suburbs, it's a totally different playing field
Well,
money-wise.
yeah, they're in a different phase of their life. I
Yeah.
mean, they're really in a different phase of their life. And we have our clientele, the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday clientele at Armando's that are different than the weekends. The weekends at Armando's, it's a special night out, most more than likely. The weekdays are more business oriented or people that live in the neighborhood. And even though I think our prices are very good at Armando's, they probably could be higher because of where it is, but we don't do
And
that.
there's a big correlation with restaurants and retail. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, even Wednesday is like the shopper who goes to Neiman's on a Monday afternoon is totally different than the shopper that goes on Saturday afternoon and Sunday afternoon. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
Right. If you're
that's not judging. That's just the facts. That's just the facts, right?
It's yeah.
Yeah.
So
But
yeah,
we're
if you're shopping at Neiman's on a Monday, work is your financial situation's got to be pretty solid if you're not actively working on a Monday afternoon.
Right.
Yeah,
Exactly.
exactly. And if you're going out on a Monday night for a dinner,
It's the
it's
same thing.
not the well, I've got to take the wife out on Friday or Saturday night.
And then, I mean, you've been very candid, and we've covered a lot of ground. But so let me just ask you, I mean, what's next? You've opened two Manditos in basically less than a year. I mean, is that kind of where your future lies, or what would you how would you like to grow this company?
So right now, what we need to do is dig back in and perfect all of our. So the projects for this year are to renovate Armando's, which we're doing. We're just finishing the private dining room. Actually, as of today, should be primarily
Which we
finished.
haven't done in 16 years, and it's a big deal.
Then
It's a big deal.
we'll slowly move around the restaurant. We're going to try to do it piece by piece without closing down. So that's our project. And then we also bought the acre behind Hotel Lulu, so we're going to expand Hotel Lulu.
So
So do some more rooms.
another six or seven rooms.
Yeah. And that's it. We need to sit tight for a minute. We need to get everything, all our T's crossed, our I's dotted, make sure we're running on all cylinders. We beat up on our staff. We need to make sure our staff is got everything down pat, and they can have their days off and they can have their vacations. And, we've been pretty aggressive the last 2 years, and we're gonna just relax and try to just perfect what we have right now. And then we'll see. I mean,
And we don't have outside investors. Everything we do is from within. If it's like the old saying, speed costs money. How fast do you want to grow? I mean, we could grow really fast here in Houston if we had the right sponsor. By that, I mean, the right investor.
but
Is
I
there's because there's a lot of people here in town that have big sponsors, and they can open up restaurants left and right. Well, that's not us.
It's kind of, but it's not where we want to be right now, because I think we're really proud of our craft, but we know that we have room for improvement. Okay. And that's what it's about. And once we feel like, okay, we've tapped out, we're good, we can handle something else, then we'll talk about it. I mean, we've been looking at properties. We never turned down a trip with a broker to look, but
Right now,
nothing's piqued our interest and made us like stop in our tracks. Katie was really, really great, because our COO, Alex Curley, lives 5 minutes from there. He's got three children in three different schools out there. So he's on all those PTAs. He's so connected. And that's very similar to the way Armando is in River Oaks. Everybody knows Armando. He's our show pony, right? Everybody wants to shake his hand. And Alex is playing that role out there at Katie, and it's working really well because he's very dug in.
Well, I have to say that does bring me to the end of my questions. Is there anything I haven't asked you about that you want to discuss?
I think we've gone through everything from starting with $100, to opening up 9 months later to growing with Armando's in Disco and serving the third generation and
And our
opening up restaurants.
45 years, and Armando turned 75 this year. So,
I was 27 when I opened, and I'm about to turn 75 in June the 28th. And as my accountant would say, those are real numbers. 75. So,
give us the websites for your restaurants or your social media or whatever you want
yeah. So,
people to know about so they can stay in touch with you.
sure. So, the best website that has everything on it is our management company, is PalaciosMurphy.com. Has all of our restaurant logos on there, and Instagrams and everything that we'd need to know. All of our restaurants, you can go to any of them, armandosrestaurant.com, and it'll turn you on to the other restaurants as well. But we're just grateful to still be doing what we do, trying to get better every day.
It's a big deal. 45 is a big deal.
And
45 is in.
don't let anybody tell you that Tex-Mex is an easy food type. It is one of the hardest food types. People that get in Tex-Mex, I'm always like shaking my head, going, I like Italian a lot.
All right. Well, thank you very much. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you
Thanks,
so much.
Eric. All right.
Nice talking to you.
You can follow me on Instagram at Eric Sandler. Keep it locked on culturemap.com for all the latest Houston bar and restaurant news. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be back next week.